Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, this is Henry Will, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call and podcast. Today is July the 10th, 2008, and this is podcast number 40. This is our PM Job Shop group. We have actually a few calls a month. There's the PM Job Shop group that we're going to be hearing from this evening, but we also have two other project management calls, one on the first Thursday every month, which is our PMP exam study group, and then this one that's the second Thursday every month, and then on the third Thursday every month, we have our PM best practices, PM lessons learned call. So there's currently three calls a month. We invite you to participate. Please join our Yahoo group so that you can get announcements of our calls and other pertinent project management information. You can find all of this information at our website, pmlessonslearned.com. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a very lively conversation to be had this evening. I know that we have a great guest that I'm very familiar with and have worked with for several years. I actually introduced this person to PM Lessons Learned several years ago, and I'm very excited to be able to hear from her. And I'm going to turn things over now to our two leaders of this particular group within PMLessonsLearned.com. We have Mike Krypta and Scott Percival. Mike, why don't you take it away?
Thanks, Henry, and welcome, everybody. Again, this particular call is our PM Job Shop, and just some public service announcements. You can join the PM Lessons Learned Yahoo group. Once you join that, that will give you the ability to join the PM Job Shop group, which the Yahoo group itself is a networking group for project managers. We also have consulting firms and recruiters on this group as well. Tonight, we are very pleased to have two representatives from Vega Consulting Solutions, Maggie Duranco, who, as Henry said, is a good friend of the PM Lessons Learned group, and Kim Shand. Just to give you a little background, Kim Shand started Vega Consulting Solutions back in 1994 and has built Vega into a very competitive and high-tech consulting company. In fact, Vega Consulting Solutions has been recognized 5 times among New Jersey's top 50 women-owned businesses. So without further ado, I am pleased to announce and welcome Kim Shand and Maggie Duranco. Which one of you two want to start?
Hi, this is Kim Shand. Is Maggie on the line?
Maybe she's Maggie is on the line, but they have to hit star 6 to get unmuted.
I'm on the line.
Hi.
Hey, Mags. So let me start by explaining a little bit about what Vega is so you know who this disembodied voice is that you've got on the line with you guys. As it was mentioned, I started Vega in 1994 as a woman-owned business, and although I subsequently brought in two partners who just so happened to be male, we are still a woman-owned business, and we're classified as a WeeBee. We have offices in Florida and also in northern New Jersey, but we currently operate in 28 states across the country. Our business is divided into two divisions. One is the commercial division, which handles clients primarily in retail, pharmaceutical, insurance, and financial services industries. And then we also have a government division that takes care of state projects, and for the most part, those are child support and welfare projects, and also our federal contracts. Right now, we have a couple of federal contracts. One is to modernize the tax systems with the IRS, which has made me a general enemy amongst my town neighbors. And the other is working with Homeland Security. So those are our main lines of business. We primarily work in the staff aug arena for project management, business analysts, and infrastructure specialists. We don't specialize in any particular technology. Instead, we like to say that we have the ability to get the right person into the right project at the right time. And we believe that this creates the necessary agility for our firm to thrive in the current economy. Since we've been around since 1994, we've certainly seen a lot of ups and downs and sideward turns in this industry. But I think the reason that Maggie asked me to speak with you tonight is not just because I've grown a successful consulting company, but because my job with Vega allows me the opportunity to talk with a very broad cross-section of corporations throughout the country. And it's kind of like unveiling the Wizard of Oz. I get to look behind the curtain of these organizations and gain insight as to where their pain is. So it gives me kind of a broad knowledge of what our clients are looking for. And I have, before starting Vega and kind of jumping off the corporate ladder, I was more of an insider to the corporate organization. I was the CEO of a firm called Worldwide Computer Services. And then just before I started Vega, I was the chief operating officer of a technology division within VET. So that gives you some sense of who's talking to you and where my opinions come from. Specifically related to project management jobs, within Vega, we look to divide into two categories. We have the project managers who will work within an enterprise-wide PMO, and then we have the project managers who will work from within a specific department. Is that something? usually, the department that our PMs will work in are the IT departments of our clients, but we're seeing more and more that the end user department who is funding the project is where the project manager is housed. And this has been a little bit of a change from the line of business we had handled previously. There are some trends that we see appearing in both arenas, the main one being that our clients are consistently asking now for industry experience. They want this vertical experience. In other words, if I'm working with a client in retail, they are looking for a project manager to have retail experience, and it's often the same with the pharmas, the bioclinicals, and the service clients. And it's coming from the need for IT to understand and enable the business to meet the targets. So everyone seems to be becoming very concerned that their project managers will be able to hit the ground running, and in that regard, they don't feel there's time to train a PM in a new industry so that they can understand what's driving the client's business. Now, bear in mind, I'm seeing the industry from the perspective of clients looking for consultants. So it is a little bit different when you're dealing with a permanent position. In consulting, they're looking more for the expert. So realize that what I'm looking at in the market is biased towards that. I've got to say that PMP certification is consistently viewed very highly, not just because of the knowledge of PMBOK, but because it verifies that you have the requisite amount of job experience to have taken the PMP exam. The other two areas that I would say are growing for project managers within PMO structures are portfolio management and change management. Again, with the need for IT to become business-driven, the need for PMs to be able to assess risk against business drivers and likelihood for success against a portfolio of projects is really a growing niche. As for change management, one of the concerns that we're seeing is the clients need to be able to measure success of their projects against user satisfaction. it's no longer a measure of the three traditional criteria in terms of cost, quality, schedule. So as the importance of the stakeholder satisfaction has grown, the need to establish processes to keep the stakeholders involved during the project and the metrics that measure their satisfaction at the end of the project has also grown. So we are now hiring more and more project managers with that change management experience to help answer those needs. I think another kind of hot skill is if you've worked with a number of different structured methodologies, that's a huge leg up. I mean, I could talk for 15 minutes alone on the disasters we have seen in the transition from waterfall to agile. So this is something we're seeing more and more in the market, and having experienced a couple of different methodologies and maybe helped a client transition from one to the other, is we project to be a very strong need in the next 12 months. Now, I am surprised at how often the people who come to us for employment, our candidates, have a lot of these skills but just don't mention them on their resume. And this is a conversation that Maggie and I have daily. At Vega, we try to ferret the information out during our interview and screening process and then add it into the resume. But if you find yourself in a position where you're sending your resume directly to a client for maybe a permanent position, I would strongly advise you to make it as comprehensive as possible. The old adage of keep your resume to 2 pages hasn't applied in decades. It's time to let it go. Would you agree, Maggie?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maggie writes books about her candidates so that when you go in for an interview, the client really understands everything you have, and the process from that point forward is merely verification. So if you're working directly with a client, I would strongly suggest that type of adjustment to your resume. One of the things that we do when we're presenting a candidate to a client is to talk about some of the things that just don't come across easily on a piece of paper. And one of those topics of conversation is this concept of soft skills. And I'm sure that all of you have run into this before. It seems that every client really honestly believes that their users are the most difficult to work with, and that their environment is the most unique political environment, and so they absolutely require that they hire only the project managers who have superior soft skills. Now, what they're really asking for when they say that is a project manager who knows how to adapt their communication style to the situation, and someone who can read the political landscape to understand when a tactical adjustment is necessary. So for us, being politically astute and capable of getting buy-in up and down the management chain is really what we're finding, that's the meaning behind that, quote, soft skills requirement. Now, that being said, it always cracks me up when I read a resume that declares the individual has, quote, excellent communication skills. That phrase is so broad and so overused that it can be counterproductive. So the need to have excellent communication skills is a given in any project management job. But a hiring manager is not going to believe you have it just because the paper says so. You have to be able to demonstrate through your job descriptions on your resume that you have good soft skills. So some of the positive indicators that we look for, either in a resume or from our interviews, are things like, you know, if you were brought in to get a project back on track that's gone astray and you were able to redirect it, that's vital information. If you have experience managing global projects and can discuss where the challenges are in managing diverse teams, that's a great differentiator, because on a global project, even small decisions like whether to communicate through the phone or through email and how frequently you communicate can be very problematic. So if you can talk about how you build trust and gain respect, that's always impressive just by virtue of the fact that you realize it's worth thinking and talking about. So, you know, I don't want to go beyond my 15 minutes and throw your usual agenda off to, you know, to a bad start. I'm not sure how long I've even been talking, actually. I guess let me just make one other point, and leaving political biases to the side, if any of you have read Rudy Giuliani's book on leadership, I think it's a very interesting book from a project management perspective. I mean, he project managed New York City. I often use one of Giuliani's quotes from his book when I'm talking to managers who want to kind of move up the food chain. He wrote that decision-making would be easy if it were always a choice between good and evil or right and wrong. But in the real world, leaders have to make decisions that are multidimensional, usually between imperfect remedies on criteria that encompass long-range goals and plausibility. To me, that really describes where project managers are right now. And the bottom line here is that even given good data, people can make bad decisions. We tend to misunderstand, misinterpret, and mismanage important problems. And it's not that we're stupid, obviously. It's just that our thought processes have bugs, which is a real problem, because the ability to make decisions is the skill that clients rarely ask for but always want. So if you take anything away from meeting me through this teleconference tonight, I hope it's this advice on how to handle data and make better decisions. Adopt this formula for a month or two. The formula is D equals 50 to 70. The D stands for decision. The numbers are the percentage of information required. Don't take action if you have only enough information to give you less than a 50% chance of being right. On the other hand, don't wait until you have enough facts to be 100% sure. I mean, come on, by then it's almost always too late. So excessive delays in information gathering really breeds analysis paralysis. It's just another form of procrastination. Procrastination, in the name of reducing risk, in my opinion, actually increases risk. So once the information is in the 50 to 70% range, go with your gut. And that's something that we do within our organization and that we look for in our project managers. I know that Maggie has a great handle on the project management positions that we currently have open. So maybe if I can turn this over to Maggie, she can talk about some of the jobs that we currently are looking at.
Oh, thanks, Kim. I don't know. Does anyone have any questions for Kim, for Kim Shand?
Actually, I have one. This is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
You touched on a few things that a few of us offline have always been talking about, and I've come across this myself a few times when you said that pharmaceutical companies are looking for people with the pharmaceutical experience. The engineering companies want someone with engineering experience. And I guess my question is kind of two-part. Can the soft skills that we all possess compensate for what we lack in industry-specific experience? And I guess my second question would be, how? if the first one is yes.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my opinion, and then I'll let Maggie give you yours. How's that? I regularly enter debates with our clients on this issue because I am completely behind someone who has those core skills you cannot train. Soft skills you really cannot train. And I think everything else can be learned on the fly. I will regularly get into this with a client and try to move their mindset. But here's a dilemma that you have when you're looking into the job market. Clients are stuck on a concept. It's a perception. So if you're working with a recruiter, I mean, first of all, you know, a headhunter type perm recruiter or someone like Maggie, you know, who's a staffing specialist within a company, it's a good idea to come to grips with the fact that this recruiter is either going to be your conduit through which you get the job or the bottleneck that's going to keep you from the job. And if you're working with a recruiter that doesn't understand soft skills can't be trained, industry experience can, you have to then take on the onus of educating them. Because if you can't get through that recruiter, you cannot get to the client. And if the recruiter is just doing word matches, pharmaceutical required, pharmaceutical on the resume, EVM required, EVM on the resume, I mean, this type of thing, you're not going to break through the wall. So there is a way to do it, but talk to people who have direct relationships with their clients where they're going to be able to go to the client and explain why your skills apply even though the words don't match. It's almost like having a talent agent. You know, you have a full skill set. You need a talent agent who gets it and can represent it accurately. But if you find that you're working with someone who maybe is working with a vendor management system or who is not working directly with the hiring manager, then I would say don't waste your time. Lost cause. You need to find someone who can be your talent agent. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Maggie, what would you say?
Absolutely the same thing.
Oh, cool.
No, I can't go against my boss. No, but no, absolutely. I mean, I came from one industry into another industry. What got me into that industry? Was it my skills? Absolutely not. Was my people skills? It was my soft skills. That's from, and I look at the same thing in project managers. You know, half of all, probably all, if you look at my statistics, all my, that's where my strengths lie in hiring project managers, and soft skills are key. Soft skills are key. Even though you may not have 100%, you may not have the industry experience, but getting your foot in that door and getting that interview is what you want to do, and working with the right recruiter who will push you to get that interview, who will push your resume and say, this person has the talent to do this job.
The clients get stuck. You know, they're in a mindset. You need someone who's going to go up to bat for you. Now, obviously, I walk my talk because Maggie had years of experience in project management and then came to talk to me about being a staffing specialist. And I believed in her skills and overall personality. With no industry experience, she came into our industry, and I'm happy to say I was proved absolutely right. But Maggie also loves to take those challenges on, and she will regularly come into my office and go up to bat for someone who doesn't have the industry experience, And then we will translate that to the client. But it, again, if you're not working with that type of mindset, then you're wasting your time. So it's really kind of ferreting out the right talent manager for yourself and getting that right relationship where they really understand where your value is coming from, because you are going against the grain of a trend in that situation. The trend is to narrow the focus, pigeonhole, gear it down. And we're fighting that trend. I love when clients come back to me and say we were right, you know.
I actually had that experience with PM Lessons Learned. Somebody listened to the podcast, and a project manager from Florida called me, and she said she totally disagreed with what I had to say. She was from the telecom industry, and she was a contractor. And she said, I disagree. I have the skills. I have the soft skills. I will get this. If you put me in front of the client, I will get this job. She got the job. I put her in front of the client. She had the soft skills. She worked on a contract for this client and through PM Lessons Learned. I was thrilled because she came from our networking group, but she listened to the podcast, which was amazing, and gave me a call.
Oh, that's great.
That's networking at its best and proving me wrong. But I mean, not proving me wrong, because, you know, it's very hard to move someone from telecoms into the pharmaceutical. That's a challenge. That is a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's opening up the eyes of the hiring manager. And she went into an industry that was not telecom. And she got it. So that was very good, and we're really, you know, that was one of the very positives of what we have that come out of this networking group, that and sharing information. Anybody else have questions for Kim?
My name's Scott Percival.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, and I wanted to agree with you on the soft skills. I think what I've heard from other networking groups is that your technical abilities are just that, and there's always going to be a faster gun in the West. There's somebody that can do it, you know, just a little bit better, has a little bit more training, and it's your soft skills that are really going to make you stand out above all the others. Would you agree with that?
It is, and, you know, it's a little bit of that political savvy, because every organization it's an organism of its own. And they feel that they are unique. And so when you get into that interview, you have to find ways to show them that you appreciate their uniqueness.
Right, and that you fit within their culture.
Exactly. Now, here's the trick to that, though. You know, I feel for people who walk into interviews and have no idea what the personality is of the person they're going to interview with, or maybe have no idea what the project's about. Because at that point, you're shooting in the dark hoping you don't hit your foot. You know, if you really want to showcase your soft skills, it's great if you know that the individual you're talking to is maybe analytical versus a touchy-feely relationship person.
Yes, but I would even, you know, look at some of the soft skills. If you look at a job description, let's say of a chemist, you know, there's certain things that he has to have,
right.
You know, but some of the soft skills besides communicating might be having analytical ability, which is not really one of the core requirements, but it's one of those soft skills that I think you can sell yourself on. So if you look at the job description, I think any job description, you figure what are the major requirements and what are the soft skills that I can sell myself to it.
True. I absolutely agree with you. What I would say, though, is sell those soft skills through anecdotes. If they're looking for someone who's analytical, you can't just walk in and say, hey, my name's Scott and I'm analytical. You've
right.
got to talk about a story. Give them
absolutely.
A story where you used your analytical skills and have that kind of prepared in the front of your mind so that you can kind of pull that out when it fits.
Exactly, and that's why I said that you need to study the job description so you know what soft skills you need to present yourself to sell yourself in the interview.
I agree. Absolutely. I'm all with you on that.
Great.
Anybody else have questions or scenarios?
Yes. My name is Hazel Johnson, and I am so new to IT Toolbox and got the link from Dave. Thanks, Dave. And I really appreciate all of your information because I left a job, and I went from healthcare to IT. And when I went to the IT industry with IBM, I learned so much about earned value management because they didn't implement it in the healthcare industry at the time. So I have a passion for it now, and now I'm trying to get a degree. I am getting a degree in project management, a master's degree. And I interview tomorrow with Boeing Aerospace. And I sat down and I wrote everything down that they may ask me because they gave me a very detailed job description. I would say about 60% of that description is on soft skills. And I am a people person, and that's where I believe I got the job when I was with IBM because of my people skills and my interview techniques and what I did, and I think I succeeded in that industry because of my soft skills. But I am scared to death of this interview tomorrow. I have butterflies now, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me. I love the DOD environment. I love earned value. I love project management. And I'm just really, really nervous about tomorrow.
What is it that's really making the butterflies jump for you? Is it your skill set against this long list that's been written in the job description?
No, because I'm sure that I can do it, but I think I interviewed with another company, and they were just D-verse. I think it's called D-verse. Well, they would let go from a bigger company, and they explained to me that they loved my soft skills, but I didn't have the technical skills because I never used a program like SAP or Oracle. In order to do earned value, I did it a lot by hand and a lot in Excel because that's the way IBM did it.
Right.
So their procurement department was centralized and the finance department was centralized. So on a project level, I did it by hand or I did it by Excel. Or I just did it by just looking at the numbers and knowing something was wrong. You know, if it said 1 + 1 = 100, I knew that was wrong and we were in trouble and I needed to fix it.
Okay.
If you can walk into this interview
with that kind of confidence, I mean, the way you presented yourself right now with your elevator speech, this is who I am, this is what I've done. I mean, that's what you have to offer, and that's a tremendous story. And I totally appreciate when you switched from saying I'm trying to get the degree to saying I'm getting the degree.
Yes, I am. And I have a 3.85 GPA, and I'm
and
I feel really, really good. And I just really need to ace this interview. This is like the fifth interview with Boeing. I interviewed for 5 positions that I'm still went to the next round with, but they were all for contracting positions. And now they're calling me in for a permanent position, but they still haven't said you have the job. So I just don't want it to come down to me not having that technical aspect and convincing them that I have that soft skill that I could and anything else I could learn.
The way you just presented yourself to me, I could see your soft skills. I could feel your confidence, and I could feel your drive from what you're doing, where you came from, and where you're going. If you can present that same picture in front of the client, they're going to read it the same way I did. I'm no genius. I've got no crystal ball. So if I'm reading you as having drive, commitment, ingenuity, they're going to read it too. You've got a great story. Get that story out there. That's what you're selling. But remember that you are selling and come out strong.
Okay.
You adjusted your presentation to me. Don't make that mistake when you go into the client. You go right in there. Do not hesitate. Do not use words like trying. Use words like getting.
Okay.
You're not trying to get the degree. You're getting the degree. You caught yourself. I saw the switch.
Okay.
With the client, go right in the first time you're getting the degree. And use that attitude with everything you say. Now, I hope that you become Boeing's next greatest employee of the year. But if for some reason it doesn't work out on this one, you have a strong healthcare background. Girl, why are you not interviewing in the healthcare industry where your industry knowledge can compensate for maybe a little less technical skill?
They don't do earned value. They don't. They just don't do it. And they estimate durations by just thinking, oh, this could get done in 2 months. And they don't know why it takes 2 years. And when I try to tell them, it's like, what are you talking about? What is earned value?
I appreciate what you're saying, but earned value is used very heavily in the government sector.
Yes.
And you can move that healthcare experience into the government sector.
Okay.
Federal employee insurance is an industry all its own.
Okay.
Government-regulated industries are right up your alley, and you can trade and barter that industry experience for technical skills.
Okay.
Just move your vision to a different track, and you're going to make it.
Okay. I never knew that. Good luck, Hazel.
Get in touch with Maggie and let her know how that goes. I'll be dying here.
I surely will. How will I get in touch with Maggie? Is she on IT Toolbox?
I'll give out my information after Kim is done.
Okay.
After Kim does, and we'll talk later, Hazel.
Okay.
Good luck,
so
Hazel. I'll be thinking of you tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions for Kim? Are we good? Hello.
I'm wonderful. I am absolutely thrilled.
You're pumped? Good.
Yes.
All right, guys. Look, it's been a pleasure.
I totally appreciate
my invitation to speak with you. I mean, in reality, look, I'd do anything Maggie asked me to do. She's the kindest, biggest-hearted, most driven individual I have ever met. So, Maggie, you can take it over from here. If you guys ever need to talk to me, you can reach me through Maggie. I'm there for you.
All right. Thank you, Kim. What a wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. All right. Michael?
I'm here, Maggie. This is Mike.
Hi. Okay, great. I don't know what other recruiters there are on the line, but I do have a few jobs that I wanted to discuss. Okay, first of all, let's go to good old New Jersey. I actually have an excellent position out in Summit, New Jersey. I'm looking for a data center migration, project manager, someone who has infrastructure experience and must have FDA experience. And then I have another position, and actually, and the other positions I have are in New Jersey, director. I'm looking for a senior project manager of director level for a project also out in northern New Jersey. And I have some out-of-state projects. One in Orlando, Florida. I'm looking for a project manager, director level, for solutions and design analysis. And I have another one in Texas. And I'm also looking for an SAP, a project manager who comes with an SAP background. Last but not least, one in Washington, D.C., and I'm looking for a QA test manager. If anybody needs to reach me, I can be reached at 973-335-7800. My email address is M as in Maggie, DARONCO, at vegaconsulting.com. mduronco@vegaconsulting.com. If anyone has any questions or wants to talk to Kim, feel free to give us a call. I'm very open to talking to people. And that's about it. Any questions? Or
Maggie, could you repeat the phone number one more time?
Sure. 973-335-7800. These positions can actually be found on our website, at vegaconsulting.com. Vegaconsulting.com.
Maggie, could you please repeat your email ID again?
M. Daronco, D-A-R-M, as in Maggie, D-A-R-O-N-C-O, at vegaconsulting.com.
Thank you.
Is that V-E-G-A?
V-E-G-A, V as in Victor.
Okay.
And all our spots can actually be open, can be found at on our website. And by the way, Hazel, I think I have like three or four EVM people working for me out
really?
In D.C. and Virginia.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. And we've done a lot of EVM presentations actually out in the D.C. area because we have, I think I have one of the leading experts in EVM actually working for one of our government contracts. And I'm surprised it hasn't really hit New Jersey. I don't know. But anyhow, any other questions? Any other recruiters want to come on the line and have any jobs that they want to bring along or focus on? Hello?
Hello. Can I interject real quick? This is Scott
sure.
Percival.
This is
for the whole group. Mike and I kind of try to make this a successful call. And one of the ways we do this is trying to make it as interactive as possible.
Okay.
I think Hazel just did a fantastic job of raising her level to the group. Okay, we all know her now. We know her personality. We know her background. And it's
mm-hmm.
okay if you want to listen in and kind of eavesdrop on the call. But I think if you're in transition or you're expecting to be in transition, you should really see what you can do to make yourself a leader and present yourself well. And
okay.
by doing that is, you know, you're going to have to answer questions, ask questions, and make yourself known to groups like this and other ones that you participate in.
Okay.
So I wanted to say that. Thank you.
The first group, so I'm learning.
You did a great job, Hazel.
Thanks.
Could I ask a question? This is Rhoda Ondov.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Rhoda. Go.
I have been looking for a position more in the way of PMO and improving organizational project management. And I'm having a difficult time finding companies who are actually interested in that and are willing to have positions dedicated to that. Is that, I guess I'm wondering if that's the norm, that they're looking specifically for project managers and not areas where there is dedication to improving the maturity level.
I would, for example, it's interesting, I'm staffing for a PMO now. Every now and then, every few months, I'm always looking for, and it's a challenge for me, to find a PM who's worked within a PMO or who's done BPR, business process reengineering, or, you know, and that's usually for me on the other side of the coin, the challenge. Or
oh, that's
people,
funny.
Or people that have said they work within a PMO, and they really, actually, another thing is, for example, another example is finding someone who's implemented a PMO. That is always in demand. Someone who's implemented a PMO from scratch. It's the other side of the coin. But I, for example, I think last year I had maybe three or four of these spots. And this year I have one so far that I'm working on.
Yeah, and that's low. So I guess that's what I'm running into is that they're few and far between.
Right. And then the question of the same what Kim spoke of earlier, which is industry experience. They
right.
want, especially after a PMO, pharmaceutical, they have to have.
Well,
they have
yeah,
to have
I do have telecom and healthcare and insurance. So
right.
I don't have everything, but I've got several.
Right. But as long as you have the soft skills, you can
yeah.
apply it. And that's the key to getting you in there. It's probably looking at your resume. We may have to change it. It mm-hmm. could be, you know, there could be so many things that we can work on and get you that interview.
Yeah, okay, good, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
Hey, Maggie, it's Mike. I'd like to throw something
Mike.
In. And this is something that I came across about 4 years ago, talking to a recruiter, no one that anyone knows on this call. In fact, I probably forgot who that is. I talked to this recruiter, and this person said to me, you know what, Mike, I get about 500 to 600 resumes for my opening. And unfortunately, I pick the top 20 that come into me. And number 21 could be the perfect person. But because of the volumes of resumes. And I want to like kind of go back to, and I've heard this too. Actually, I read an article about top 10 myths about resumes. And the one that Kim mentioned was no more the one pager or two pager with a half an inch margin and 7 font. You know, it's get it all out there. And the one thing that I've gone through in various career counseling groups was that people don't have time to page through my 3 or 4 page resume. How would someone like me, you know, hold hands with the hiring manager and sing Kumbaya?
I mean, I think you have a wonderful resume, Mike.
You helped me rewrite it.
Yeah. Michael, another thing, going back to soft skills, I remember not only because you responded, you know, because of the, I remembered speaking with you and not even through our networking group. And I said, oh, Michael Krupta, PM, just automatically just can't. And that's key. I want a 3-4 page resume. Don't cut it down. I think people tend to, the 2-page resumes, you know, I'll read the 3 or 4 page resume. Again, it depends on the recruiter. My company, we work on quality. And when you're a quality-driven company, you want quality candidates. So we'll go and pick apart each job with you and with you one by one by one. We need to know if you had a 10-page resume. Okay, we stop at 3 or 4 pages, but you should have one that actually displays your jobs I worked with a project manager who had a 3 or 4 page resume, and then on another thing, he had a comprehensive listing of his projects, of his successful projects for each job. And you know what? I asked the hiring manager, I said, would you like to see a list of, you know, this is his resume, but he's also listed his projects and what he did and how he did it. The client loved it. You know, so another aspect you can take, but I actually do read it. I do get a number of resumes, but I'll look at each and every one. When you're quality driven, you'll do that. But when you're paper driven, you're not. I want the best candidate. Any other questions? Did I answer your question, Mike?
Yes, you did. Thanks.
Any other questions? So, Mike, what's the next step?
Scott, did you want to talk about anything? Or?
No, I did wanted to talk about the branding, which I kind of interjected before.
Mm-hmm.
I highly believe that, you know, you have to make yourself known to these groups because we're trying to build relationships. You know, most of the jobs are, it's a networking thing opposed to, you know, going on the internet. You know, the typical response
Absolutely.
On the internet is anywhere between 1% to 4%. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
networking is the way to go. And the way to raise your level in networking, I know we're all shy about it, is, you know, just by making yourself known and being seen as a leader.
I'll be very honest. Whenever I get a resume from our networking group. I open it up, I read it. And it's because I know these are not not all, they could be passive job seekers, but these are people who are and they take first priority. Anyone in this networking group will take priority. And that's how I feel, because I mean, for me, that's, they took the time, they listened to the call, or they listened to the podcast, and this is someone that I want to work with. I'd rather work with someone from our networking group, from any of the networking groups that I work with, instead of just pulling someone off the internet, off the job board. Honestly, my company, we're trying to get away from the job boards. We strongly work on networking.
And you would prefer somebody represent a project manager as excellent to you, opposed to going in blind with somebody.
Absolutely. Know the evil. That's why I've been married for over 23 years. Know the evil. It takes a long time for the unknown.
Well, that's, Scott, that's, you know, again, what you reiterated is a good segue to another public service announcement regarding our Yahoo group, the PM Job Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Within the group, we've built a database where you can actually go in and enter information about yourself, name, address, phone number, what your current status is, whether you're looking, whether you're in place, or, you know, seeing what else is out there, expect to be in a transition state soon, your elevator speech, industries you've been in, accomplishments you've been in, and where you'd like to pursue. So if you haven't joined yet, or wait, let me reword that. When you join the PM Job Shop, this database is a great opportunity for all of us in the group to know who else is out there, what everybody has done, and have someone like Maggie, if she is looking for someone, to just do a quick look, see who's out there so she can contact directly. So the one thing I did not do at the beginning of this call, and if we have time, I would like everybody to just introduce themselves. I know we've heard from a few people. And just say who you are and what your elevator speech is. Who will be our first brave volunteer?
Well, I can do that. This is Arash Narimoni from Torrance, California. Well, I do lead the lots of global projects in research and development for high-tech companies. So that's, I do totally understand the challenges of leading diverse teams and global teams to get on phone, net meetings, and the challenges of having virtual teams. So that will be my 30-second.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll go next.
Sure.
This is Rhoda Ondov. And I did talk a little bit about what I was looking for. I do have a lot of experience with project management methodology and training and things like that. And I'm, as I said, looking for something where I can help mature an organization. I do have also not only IT background, but positions on the business side where I've been a project manager. So I've been called bilingual in that sense, not another language besides English, but the business and the IT terminology. So that's part of what I bring with soft skills, along with a lot of ways of communicating and conflict management, because I also have a psychology degree. So that comes in handy a lot.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
As you know, I'm Hazel Johnson, and I'm in transition, and I'm just new to the group, and I'm listening, and I'm learning, and I think I'm going to continue to do that.
Okay.
Hi, Mike. My name's Pat Shaw. I'll go next. I offer over 20...
I'm sorry, did someone say something?
Just hello.
Hi, how are you? I offer 20 years of combined experience with planning, project management, and program management. I come from the telecom industry. However, excuse me, I had the opportunity to provide program and project management services coming across IT, coming across switch installation, some of the networking aspects within telecom as well. I'm currently in transition. I'm looking for my next position, and I think this call, I came late to the call, but I did catch the very end of what Kim was saying and the information that Maggie provided, and I think this sounds so encouraging, and I definitely plan to follow up with getting in touch with Maggie.
Great.
You know,
Pat, Henry will post a link to the podcast if you want to listen to the full phone call.
I sure will look forward to that.
Great.
Mike, did you want me to share my background?
Yes, let's.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is Henry Will. I have a background in software development. I actually was a developer at one point and graduated to a manager and a project manager back in the 80s. So I've been doing project management for quite some time. I have experience in many different industries, including everything from video games, medical, insurance, financial, manufacturing, and a whole gamut of other industries. And I've also worked in the telecom industry, too, for that matter. I think everybody that lives in New Jersey has at one point or another, most people have. And now recently I'm working with a company doing software development for mortgage processing. So I'm gainfully employed right now. And I'm also a connector of people, and that's part of the reason why I run PM Lessons Learned, which is the parent group.
I think it's important to note that Henry runs both groups. The Job Shop is the sister to PM Lessons Learned, and that's used primarily for posting project management jobs. This was Mike's brainchild. He would get a call from a recruiter and couldn't fulfill the position but wanted to share it with some people. So Mike talked to Henry, and we started this group to kind of share the jobs out there. So if you have jobs that aren't quite your fit and you want to share them with the group, please share them. We would love to have them. It's going to help everybody. And hopefully the sooner that the next person finds a job, the sooner you will. It's just a matter of throwing the stuff against the wall until enough stick.
Can you get to that that sister organization from? I know I'm a member of PM Lessons Learned, but not the other. Can you get there from that site?
From PM Lessons Learned?
Did you receive an email for this phone call?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Was it from PM Job Shop?
Yeah, I'll check into that. Thanks.
It would be the same address. Instead of PM Lessons Learned, just PM Job Shop.
Oh, okay.
At yahoo.com. So if you didn't get it, you know.
Okay.
How that would be.
Or you can go into Yahoo Groups and do a search on PM Job Shop, and then, you know, within the group, you can press the button to request the join.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, I guess I'll go next. My name's Scott Percival, and I guess I'm a little bit different than a lot of you because my project management experience is in manufacturing and not IT. So with manufacturing leaving New Jersey, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to find something that fits my needs. But, you know, I worked over 20 years in professional marketing and project management experience, and we were focused on product advertising in the POP and display industry. And I worked with a lot of national accounts, retailers, manufacturers, and we managed the development and the design and the production of their display merchandising and advertising components. So, you know, I provide, you know, the same type of strategic project management services that you guys do, but I do it for the manufacturing side of things. And my name's Scott Percival.
I'll jump in really quick. My name is Maggie Dronco. I come from Vega Consulting. I come into recruiting from after a career in project management, IT and project management. I've been fortunate to, I actually came into this group after trying to convince Henry Will to take one of my jobs. Anyhow, I became, I guess, one of the original members of this group, which has been a really blessing. It's a lot of fun and a lot of good people. But that's it.
Nago, this is Mike Krefta. I am a program project manager with over 20 years' experience, predominantly in telecom, as most of us have been, but have been successful in deploying and implementing new products, services, methodologies, and processes in multiple functional areas, including IT, marketing, operations. Also have experience in semiconductor manufacturing, retail banking, chemicals, and publishing.
Is there anybody else on the call that would like to share?
Nope, that's about it.
Mike, you want to wrap it up?
Sure. Well, Maggie, I cannot tell you how much we really appreciate you coming on and inviting Kim along with you. I'm sure I speak on behalf of everybody that Kim's presentation and your presentation was very enlightening and very uplifting for many of us who are seeking that greener side of the lawn. So we thank you very much. And everybody who has joined, again, this call will be on the web. It's number 40, I believe Henry said. And thank you again all very much for attending. And I think I can speak on behalf of everybody as well. Hazel, if you're still out there, our prayers are with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Knock them dead.
Good luck, Hazel.
Good luck, Hazel.
Good luck, Hazel.
Thank you, everyone, and I'm going to shoot an email out to you and tell you how it went.
Please
okay.
Do.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
That sure was a lot of helpful information, wasn't it? Please join us for a future conference call. We currently have several calls a month. Join our Yahoo group for more information about our calls and information to further your project management career. Membership is free. Details are at pmlessonslearn.com. We hope you'll continue to listen in to our podcasts and tell others about our podcasts and our group. pmlessonslearn.com. We're all about project managers helping project managers. And until next time, keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project managers helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.